Welcome to Flights of Fantasy, your romantasy podcast book club. I'm Christina, joined by my book besties Kim and Anna, and together we're diving into the characters, theories, lore, and magic behind all your favorite fantasy romance books. All right, listeners, welcome to one of our favorite episodes of the season, our book awards.
Yay!
We are so excited to do this episode. It is always such a joy. We have so much fun doing it. I apologize for my voice. If you can't tell, tis the season for everyone to be sick.
Tis the season. Most wonderful time of the year. Everyone's been sick. We're all taking turns.
But we can't miss it. Not one of us can miss this episode.
No, we all must be here. It's the highlight of our year. Exactly. It is the most fun.
Exactly.
Oh my God, we're so excited.
All right, friends, listeners, if this is your first full season listening with us, first, welcome to our Book Awards 2025.
Yeah.
The way this works is that this episode is essentially our Golden Globes, our Oscars. And if you think about it, we're really kicking off award season here, which is coming up this winter.
We sure are.
We have a host of categories that we will be making our way through, but we can only use the books we covered in our main feed episode.
Yep.
But before we give our official spoiler warning, listeners, I just want to paint a little picture for you because this is our fifth Book Awards episode.
Uh-huh.
And that feels pretty special.
Yeah.
So picture this, three book besties, Christina and Kim from childhood, Anna and Christina from college, and Kim and Anna, who Christina introduced at her wedding and said, "Hey, twin moms, you guys probably have a lot of shit to talk about." But really what brought us together was a world shutdown and our mutual love for winged men. What started as a weekly wine and Zoom book chat over the infernal devices and then Throne of Glass morphed into what you all listeners hear today. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of hard work on our end, a lot of leaning on each other and showing grace as we navigate owning and running this small business. But without the support of all of our listeners and all of the people who follow and engage with us in socials and on our Patreon, none of this would be possible.
Yeah.
So we want to thank you all from the bottom of our hearts.
Yeah.
And I also want to thank my two book besties, and they don't know I'm saying this.
Oh my God, I'm literally about to start crying, Anna.
This is my acceptance speech that I'll never give. So I want to take a second to thank my two book besties, Kim and Christina, for not just being the most incredible business partners and team members, but more importantly, friends, because none of this would be possible without that dynamic. Oh. And while we have come a long way from our first Book Awards episode, better technology, better recording devices, yeah. Our very first Book Awards, just the three of us, sitting in a circle on the floor of a New York City hotel, glasses of champagne in hand, crackers and spreadable cheese from the downstairs bodega, that will always be one of my favorite memories and favorite episodes we ever recorded.
Yeah.
Oh, damn it.
I wasn't prepared.
I was not ready for this.
Oh,
that's so sweet.
I love you guys.
I love you too. Sweet. I teared up writing it out last night.
Oh my gosh, that was amazing.
Thank you. That was great, so speech. Lovely.
I love you guys so much.
Beautiful acceptance speech.
Beautiful, Anna.
Okay, everyone. Well,
let's rally from that.
Now we do have to give our official spoiler warning.
We do.
So, spoiler warning, but these are also the nominees from which we will be taking all of our answers from.
Yes.
Yep.
So, spoilers for the following books: Onyx Storm, Reckless, The Fallen and the Kiss of Dusk, The Wolf King and the Night Prince, Mate, The Night and the Moth, Brimstone, and the first three books in the ACOTAR series, A Court of Thorns and Roses, A Court of Mist and Fury, and A Court of Wings and Ruin. The last two we did not cover yet. Those will be coming next season.
Yeah.
So no spoilers for those. But all the ones just listed, consider this your official spoiler warning.
Yeah.
We are so excited. Let's go, Christina. Kick us off.
Woo!
Oh my God.
Okay. Wow. Everybody. Okay. I have the honor of introducing our first category of the awards night. Okay. First category is leading man. I had to go with Zayden.
Yep.
I just had to go with Zayden. It was just so, oh my God, going back through our outline for Onyx Storm today, I was like,
yes,
this man. Mm. Oh my God.
This man.
The sexiness, the romance.
Yes.
Let's all not forget that he started calling Violet love in this book, and it did things to us.
I died.
Yeah.
The sexiness and the sweetness. He was absolutely leading man of leading men. That was my choice.
Yes.
Kim, what did you pick?
Yeah, I had to pick Zayden. Like, Zayden and Onyx Storm is peak book boyfriend, book husband, book baby daddy
love
material.
It.
Everything.
He's everything.
Yeah.
For me, it had to be
Zayden.
It had to be Zayden.
Yeah.
Yep.
Same. I mean, listeners, we should also say that we told ourselves that we could not pick Rhysand.
Yeah.
for this yeah. one.
We did.
We did. And instead, we all picked Zayden.
We all picked Zayden.
But it's not Resand, so...
I will give an honorable mention to Asar. Mm. I think Asar from Fallen was wonderful. I think he grew a lot. I really enjoyed his growth in that book. And just like getting to see his story wrap up in that book was so beautiful. I really enjoyed him as well.
Yeah. Agreed.
All right, Kim.
Kim, you do leading lady.
I'll do our leading lady. Oh Yay! My gosh. Okay. This was kind of a tough one, but I went with Misha from The Fallen and the Kiss of Dusk.
Aww.
I really, really love her character. I thought that, you know, you see her from Serpent to Ashes to Songbird to Fallen, and her growth and her relationship with Asar and her relationship with herself and the self-loathing and all of that stuff. It was, she was incredible. My backup choice would be Sybil from The Night and the Moth. I also really enjoyed her character.
Yeah.
I do like Violet, but I like her. I like her because of how much Zayden loves her. Similarly to how I feel about Feyre. Yes. We love Feyre because of how much Resand loves Feyre.
Agree. So I picked Sybil as my favorite.
Nice.
Because I just, when we were doing that episode and we were recording, I always remember that line, my worth was written by the rules I followed.
Mm.
And she just was this incredible character who was so unassuming in a lot of ways. You know, she was just trapped in this religious cult. And yet she was so open-minded and willing to look at herself and the things that she was taught and kind of realize her own prejudices. And I found her to be so worthy of growth and capability. I don't know. I just really, really liked her. I'm so excited for book two.
Me too.
Christina, who did you pick?
Christina.
Beautiful. So I had Misha as well.
Yay!
Everything you said, completely agree. She's just such a beautiful leading lady and we've seen her come so far. Yeah. I also had a runner-up as Serena, actually, from Mate.
Oh.
I thought she was such a great leading lady
And
so fun and funny while also really carrying the story well. And I just thought she was really fun. And Violet. I also had Violet. I really enjoyed her Curse the Patriarchy speeches, and she really held up Zayden and really made him feel worthy.
She did.
And that was important to the story.
Agreed. Yeah. Great answers. Oh, I love that.
All right. Okay.
Anna.
Best couple, guys.
Okay.
Best couple.
What'd you pick?
Who'd you pick?
What'd you pick?
I had to pick Resand and Feyre.
Oh.
There was just like no way. I was like, I mean, I have runner ups, but Zayden and Violet. I don't know. But I just, Resand and Feyre, I mean, they're my OG enemies to lovers, beautiful, morally gray character. And I love them. And there's their journey through Akamath and Akawar. And I just, they're my couple. They're my OG.
Oh, I love that.
They're everything.
They're everything.
They are.
Christina, who'd you pick?
I had Zayden and Violet because
I, did too.
I figured Reese and Feyre were going to be chosen. And you know what?
And they were.
If we know each other, we know each other.
And we do.
So Zayden and Violet I have here. I love how stable and solid they were. Mm. And it was really beautiful to get to see that that only worked because of the angst and the drama that was Iron Flame. When we were in Iron Flame, it felt so annoying.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got to Onyx Storm and it felt like a payoff.
Yeah.
There was no miscommunication. It was just like devotion and taking on the world together. And I just Loved it.
Agreed. So well said. Nothing to add. I also picked Zayden and Violet. I loved them.
Yeah.
And like you said, Christina, we couldn't have gotten there without trudging through the miscommunication and the fighting in Iron Flame.
Yeah.
But man, it paid off.
The payoff was chef's kiss.
Truly.
Well, we better relish in it now because who knows where we're going from here with them. So
I am ready for the villain era. Like, let's go.
Oh, God. Me too.
Me too.
Please. We are Reputation girlies. We're ready for it. Okay. So next up, best supporting character. All right. Well, I went with Riddick for best supporting character.
That's a great one.
I love that, Christina.
Love Riddick. He was the star of the show.
Uh-huh.
Brought so much joy and character growth. I just absolutely think he was the best supporting character that we saw this season.
I agree.
Absolutely. Riddick is incredible. Anna, who did we pick?
Bartholomew.
I
mean,
I knew you guys were gonna pick
him. I was like immediately, I was like, Bartholomew, duh.
I have it in capitalizations with about 75 exclamation. That's the only one. I have Bartholomew in all caps with 75 exclamation points. Everybody else is just typed out and it's Bartholomew. I just.
Oh, sweetie sweets.
Rachel.
Our sweet old little gargoyle with childlike innocence and wonder. I just love him so much. It makes me want to cry.
I know.
It's like, I want to hug him and I want to squeeze him and I want to love him.
I want to protect him. Rachel just really has such a gift with making you feel so endeared toward these characters that if I were to just tell you what this character is, you'd be like, Sorry, what now?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
You love the nightmare? And what is that? Oh, he lives in someone's head. That's weird.
Yeah.
Oh, a gargoyle? I mean,
a piece
okay.
of stone? Chiseled stone?
No. No. But we're sobbing over them.
Sobbing.
Right.
She is just so incredibly talented and truly in a league of her own when it comes to her writing and these characters that she's created. It's wonderful.
I agree.
So my backup is Blake, specifically from The Wolf King, because Blake is a supporting character in The Wolf King.
Oh,
in The Night Prince, I would count him as a main. Leading man.
Yes.
But for supporting character, I think he could have been slotted in for Ooh. Wolf King as a supporting character.
He's so sassy and snarky.
And like, you know he's important. And he just steps on that page. And that is when I was like, I'm in.
He just exudes sex.
Yes. But like, I didn't realize the story was missing him until he was there. And I was like, oh, everything's clicking. I see what we're doing. Mm-hmm. Like, he makes this all so good. He was so well-crafted in Wolf King. I loved that.
I love him.
Oh, Christina, great answers. Oh, Riddick. Guys, I love Riddick.
I know.
Okay. All right, Kim.
Okay, my turn. Okay, I think I'm doing most infuriating character.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Oh, God.
Who'd you pick?
So many options. Christina, I had to go with the fucking Sentinel from Fallen. And I wrote it specifically... The fucking Sentinel from Fallen. That's exactly how I wrote it.
Oh my God, I'm so happy you picked that. I totally forgot about that.
Oh, well, I was going through all of our outlines, just trying to kind of remember everything that we had talked about.
Fucking Sentinel.
And the fucking Sentinel. I was like, how many times? I'm sorry, this character came back how many times?
Minimum 25.
Minimum 25. And at one point—
Did he not just die? Like, was he supposed to die?
No. It's a whole— It's a whole journey. Yeah. And it was too much. It came back too much. And it would just pop up. And finally, in the outline, we just started writing, and the fucking Sentinel.
Fucking Sentinel.
My backup, however, was Zovina from Brimstone.
Oh, good one.
That's a good one.
Good one.
That's a really good one.
Really did
Damn,
not enjoy
that's a
her
good one.
Character.
I forgot.
Because infuriating is perfect. There was no redemption. It was just infuriating.
No, and now she's dead. So there's really no redemption arc there. She can just infuriate me.
From the grave.
Yeah.
All right. Anna, who'd you pick?
Okay. So I took a little creative liberty with mine.
Okay.
Because I really struggled. I did not think of Zovina for some reason because my most infuriating character was in Brimstone, but it was Saris's magic.
Oh, I love that.
I just was like, I can't think of a character that just really infuriated me, but you know what infuriated me the most this entire year was Saris's magic.
I will allow it. I will absolutely allow it.
I agree. The committee will allow it.
Yeah.
And honestly, that's so, so valid.
Infuriating.
It's infuriating. And actually, I was looking through, you know, our Onyx Storm outlines and stuff, and I know that we had some small issues with a few things. Guys, looking back now, I'm sorry, but compared to Brimstone, Onyx Storm was like nearly flawless. Like the things that we were like,
actually
that's confusing.
Flawless.
I was like, oh God, you have no idea.
You don't know what you're in store for.
You don't know.
Oh, you're sweet number children.
Like, oh, that's confusing to you? Really? Oh, okay. Okay.
Theophany's crypticness is like nothing.
I was like, oh, she's very clear. Like she couldn't have been
more clear. Not
this
have been
is actually.
She gave you a step-by-step.
Yeah.
Oh God.
Christina.
Okay. I have two options.
Okay.
Number one, Tamlin. And
yes! Absolutely.
That's genius.
Chef's
infuriating.
Kiss, Christina.
Infuriating. Specifically in book one. Well, but you know all of it. Just Tamlin all around. All the books.
Agreed.
And number two, I have Payden and Kai in Reckless. Take your pick, either one. We can say Payden, we can say Kai, either one.
Absolutely, you guys.
I need you all to remember the amount of times we say pretend in that book. I say it in the episode. I think it's 60.
Yeah.
The amount of times that they're like, well, we're going to pretend. We're pretending to pretend because we don't have feelings for each other. We're pretending. And me and Kim are like, you love each other. God damn it. It's so annoying.
The tying up, the being chained together.
They're chained to each other the whole, like, whole half of the book. And there's,
guys,
you don't understand how long the chain is. Is it a short chain sometimes? It's a long chain sometimes.
They're chained?
Yeah, they're chained together.
Yeah, their legs are chained together. And then there's a whole thing where she doesn't take a bath and she's in the bathtub and then she can't take her pants off because she's chained and so then she gets in the bed in like these soaking wet pants and Kim lost
I lost my mind. I lost my fucking mind. I was like,
in the bed with wet pants?
She's in the bed with wet, she just like shoves them down to her, no actually I think she just keeps them on.
So I was like, maybe she shoved them down to her ankle and you were like, I'll change that to canon because I can't live with myself.
Either way, they
not.
Didn't come off and they were in the bath with her and then she just got
into
the
bed. She's like, they're
the
a
bed.
Little damp. And Kim was like, no, they would
damp.
Be drenched.
They're soaking wet.
You can't like just wring them out because they're on your body.
Right. They're on
on her body.
And he's chained on the other side of the door. Under the door. It's
under the door. Yeah.
Anna.
No.
The logistics.
It's such a mess, you guys. Mm-mm. Reckless was...
The whole book's just a loopy, loopy, loopy loop. And I mean, go listen to our episode. We have a grand old time. It's really fantastic.
I remember you guys texting me be like, yeah, no, Anna, this is really not for you.
Nope.
Oh, no. Mm-mm. But we had so much fun that episode.
It was really fun.
Those do make really good episodes.
They do.
When we have fun like that, like, it's just whatever.
Oh, yeah.
It's really fun.
We had so, that episode was a treat.
It really was.
Okay, who is this? Anna!
Okay, oh. Ooh, best cast, best friend group.
Okay.
I mean,
go for it.
Inner circle.
I mean, yes. I love it, yes.
I was like, I couldn't, I don't know, it's the inner circle. I mean, I just...
Sure.
There are people, I know.
There are people. Ya. I mean, I love when Feyre becomes a part of the group and she comes in and she's the mate and they all stand and they look at her and they bow.
Oh.
And Aemond's like, we will serve you and protect you. And then she says, I just want you to be my friends first.
Yeah.
And Mor winks at her and she's like, yeah, we'll do that too, but we're also going to protect you.
Oh, I love that.
I just love them.
Oh, yeah. And getting to know them, the whole inner circle. And you're like, I just remember that so viscerally when I was first getting obsessed with these books and now. But finishing and feeling like, oh my God, I miss them.
Yes.
I want to go hang out with them.
Yeah.
I want to be at that dinner.
Yeah, totally.
I had a runner up, but I want to see who you guys pick first.
Yeah. Kim, you go.
I picked Quest-Squad.
Yeah, that was okay.
Yeah. That was
I had to pick Quest-Squad, not because like they're all really good friends, but because the dynamics were just really funny and interesting. And like Zayden and Dane were really funny in this book.
Oh, yeah.
And the cat, Broccoli, was funny. And like Mira.
Yeah.
And Broccoli's dad. Who's Broccoli's dad?
Oh, shit. Drake.
And their little, why'd you name him that? Like just to annoy you, Sorengale. Like,
yeah.
You know I ate that up.
Broccoli's not orange.
Yeah. Why didn't you name him Carrot?
Carrot.
Just to annoy you. And Riddick, of course, is freaking Riddick.
I hate sewing.
I hate sewing.
The way that Rebecca built them in that book specifically in Onyx Storm was very well done.
Yeah.
We have Riddick have his great speech about how you guys always underestimate Mamie.
Yeah.
Look at me. Like, I do all the things that you do. I passed all the tests that you passed.
Yeah.
Like, trust me.
And while you've been doing this, I've been reading books.
Yeah. He's a team player. Not just him, but I mean, Riddick was the star of the show.
He absolutely
but
was.
Sawyer's journey, everybody.
Yeah. Oh,
beautiful.
Guys, remember that moment with Sawyer when he finally gets up on his dragon?
I'm going to talk about it in a moment.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
Nothing happened. All right, Christina.
Okay, Christina, who do you have?
I have Inner Circle runner-up Quest Squad. So, you know.
Love it.
Same
thing.
Same thing.
Yep.
Okay.
Love, love, love. Christina's turn.
Oh, yay. Okay.
All right. Oh, my God. Of course. This is
of course. Oh, my God.
Category. Oh, my God.
What? How did this happen?
The way this worked out so
Christina has best sex scene.
What do you guys think this is, guys? As a listener, what do you think Anna would give me to read?
I'm dying. This is the best thing ever.
Oh, is it my turn, Anna? Is it?
Okay. I didn't pick the order.
I know. I'm just kidding.
Oh, but this is like kismet. This is meant to be.
This is great. This is fantastic.
I have the great honor of introducing the best sex scene.
Yeah.
Wow. There were some good ones to choose from this year. I read most of them.
There sure were.
And they were sexy. Okay?
Yeah.
Now, I'm actually going to give my award to one that is a little different than our usual picks.
Oh.
And that is to the piano sheet sexy time in Fallen.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And that is almost only because of creativity alone here.
Yeah.
Okay, so pretty much Misha, through a sequence of events, SR cannot physically touch Misha.
Mm-hmm.
But Carissa took that challenge and she said, oh, but there will still be sexy times.
That's right.
And we got introduced to this scene. Misha's in a sheet and they're in a library. And through, again, a sequence of events, she's on top of a piano. There's a library ladder behind her and she is in a sheet. And Asar makes it happen.
Uh-huh.
And it is so surprisingly effective. It is so well done. I cannot even tell you.
Yeah.
For all of that alone, it could not have been better for us.
Agreed.
And he's also just come from like torturing someone. Mm. So he's all like dark and twisty.
Yeah.
And the way he talks about it in that moment, like he has a quote where it's like he wanted to like paint over Gideon's pain with her pleasure and wanted to paint over the bloodstains with her gasps and moans. And like, it's just so good. There's also a point where he tells her to hold on to the bars behind her because they'll keep her hands where they need to be.
I love
and
it.
And then she does it and he says, good girl.
Good girl.
And it's good.
Oh,
God, it's good.
That's a really great answer.
So yes, that was my top pick.
So hot.
Yes, I have runner up. But Kim, why don't you go? What's yours?
Okay, so mine was the 73-day scene in Onyx Storm.
Yes! Yes!
When Zayden shows up at her door and she's in, like, her nightgown. And he's like, I tried to wait. My goal was 76 days, but I only made it 73 days. And she's like, get in here.
I love fuck it.
It's a fuck it moment. I know the logistics were confusing to some people, but I got it. And I understood what we were doing. And I was very, very into it.
Oh, this is with the chair and the shadows,
the
right?
The chair and the shadows have her hands. And he, like, slides Woo. Down. Woo!
Wow.
Hot. Hot, 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 hot.
That was a good one.
You know, he shows up and he's like so worried about making it as long mm-hmm. as Jack Barlow without channeling. And
yes.
he just needs her so badly.
Oh, God. And that's also the one where he's like, I need control yes. in this sexy time. Can you handle that? And she's like,
take it.
Okay.
Take it.
On a silver platter.
Yes.
There you go, sir. Oh, God. There's a part where he's like, okay, do you have the daggers close enough to you? Is that close enough so you can, like, fight me? I want you at your full power.
Yeah.
All this stuff so you can get me if you need to. And she's like, I have. Just please take my clothes off.
Yes, please.
It's so good.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, Anna, what's yours?
Okay, so I had a really hard time choosing between two.
Mm.
So the first one was from The Night and the Moth when Rory removes her shroud for the first time.
Oh, yeah.
And he says, you're so beautiful. And when you've read it, you know how absolutely impactful that scene is when he takes off the shroud.
Yeah.
And then I love this line. I mean, I think about it daily, but it's when Rachel writes, they're having sex and they're like really getting hot and heavy.
Mm-hmm.
And she writes, the sound of air rushing out of his mouth was profane.
Oh, gorgeous.
Gorgeous writing.
It just makes me feel something. I love it. It's like a very tender, sexy moment.
Yeah.
It's not so much like hot, sexy.
It's not graphic at all.
Yeah.
It's very romantic.
It's just beautiful. But my runner up, you guys are going to laugh, but let me finish.
Okay.
Is from Mate. Not N-O-T. Not K-N-O-T.
Oh, got it. Yes. Got it. Okay.
Not one of those. It's one of the ones before that.
Weird. You don't love that?
I don't love that one.
What do you mean?
I really, really loved the scene after she wakes up from one of her in heat moments and he finds her.
Mm.
And then he's like, I can't break my covenant. So I can't yeah. touch you, but I can use your hand to pleasure yeah. you.
Yeah.
And it was
oh, I forgot
so
about that one.
Hot the wow. way he's like so controlling hot. Her body.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And
yes.
she's sitting on his lap and it worked for me.
It was hot.
Loved it.
That was really hot. I forgot.
Allie Hazelwood can write a damn sex scene. Let me tell you what.
She sure can.
And my God, she is a queen. She's a queen and we love her for that. That's a great answer, Anna.
Thank you.
That is. That was a good array of different kind of, I think we covered
all
the sexy times of the year, you know?
Obviously my backup is chapter 55 of Acumen.
Oh. Of course. Of course. Yeah,
I mean, that's like God tier goes without saying.
God tier.
I'm happy you said that though, because we'd be remiss if it was not a part of the answers.
I just had to mention it because it's all of our favorites of all time.
It's so good.
Right. I also did have runner up of the Hewn City on the throne,
yeah.
the throne scene.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll never forget reading that scene for the first time to me was more hot than chapter 55 because it felt so forbidden
yeah.
and public.
Oh, so naughty. Like, so naughty.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I remember like reading that. Yeah. That was my first, I feel like, smut scene in a book.
Same.
And I was like, what is happening to me right now? I
Same.
Feel like I'm having
What
a,
is this feeling?
Yeah.
I'm like having a religious experience.
Yes.
Yes, truly.
Well, because it was teasing and it wasn't explicit yeah. and that made it all the more sexy because they're having this private moment in front of everybody and you just,
mm-hmm.
the way Sarah writes it is so good.
Well, and it's like crafted so.
Unholy playing in the background.
Well, and Unholy.
Of like, course. Of course.
And the crafting of Rhys in that moment specifically, because he, for the reader, we get to have bad boy Rhys
mm-hmm.
because that's what he's presenting
mm-hmm.
while also knowing he's not actually bad boy Rhys
yeah.
and he's also in her head being like, are you okay? It's okay.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry I have to do this
Ugh.
While doing the sexy bad boy things. Like, it is the perfect
delicious.
It's the perfect combination.
Absolutely.
Because then you get to have the bad boy while knowing like he's just pretending to be the bad boy.
He's not.
Yeah.
He worships me.
I love it.
Okay, is it my turn?
Yes, it's your turn,
yes.
Kim.
Okay, let's do best setting, best world building.
Mm. What'd you choose?
This was tough, but I had to give it to The Night and the Moth.
I did too.
Yeah.
You know, there's something about Rachel's world building that I find to be very accessible, but also incredibly unique and detailed.
Yeah.
But it's not complicated or complex.
Mm-hmm.
It just is so gothic. And this one was a little medieval and it just feels so all encompassing and you just feel so immersed in the world, but you're never
yes.
confused about what's going on. Like, it feels very accessible to read.
Yes.
And especially for people who don't read a lot of fantasy, I think you could jump into any of these books and feel like, I know what's going on. But she just does such a great job.
Yeah.
I agree. I don't really have much to add to that because I also picked Night in the Moth, except that, yes, the world building is so accessible because she chooses things from everyday life, but then twists it to make it her fantasy narrative.
Yeah.
But it still was rooted in things that we know today.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And so it really is easy to digest, and it allows you then to be fully immersed in what you're reading because you don't have to overthink anything or go, wait, what does that mean again? What is, let me go back to the beginning of the book. Yes,
absolutely.
And there's something really beautiful about that, and yet she still makes it fun, new, and exciting.
Yes.
It's a gift.
It truly, truly is a gift. It's so wonderful.
I love that. I love that.
Christina, what's yours?
Okay, so I picked The Wolf King.
Ooh.
And The Night Prince. I love the Scottish Highlands. I love being able to be in the locks and the things, and it just felt so immersive, and I loved being in that world.
I agree.
Just everything about it. It was so beautiful.
It's so
good. Oh, that's a great answer. I love that.
Okay, I have best villain. I didn't even really have to think about this that much. I picked the Abbess.
Me too.
From The Night in the Moth.
Me too.
She is...
She's something else.
She is something else. She is a special kind of evil.
She's a real piece of work, let me tell you what.
I had a very strong reaction to her.
Yes.
She is evil incarnate. I couldn't stand her.
Mm. Agreed. Especially, I think, with the whole religious aspect of it, like a corrupt religious leader, like we've never seen that before. So I felt like we were really able to connect with her character in that way because we've seen that play out in real life.
Yeah.
Really, really well done. Christina, who'd you pick?
I picked Theophany. I feel like she was such an interesting villain.
That's a good one.
And there were so many layers to her. I liked how she was introduced. I think she wasn't just like, oh, here's Jo Schmo who hates you for no reason. Who is she? Like, we got to go on a journey.
Yeah.
We had to figure out who she was. I mean, journey's done because she's dead. But I really enjoyed the time with her that we had. And I feel like she was very interesting to read on page.
Yes. What did we call her at the beginning when we couldn't get Theophany?
Mia Thermopolis.
Mia Thermopolis.
It was Mia Thermopolis. We called her Mia Thermopolis.
Mia Thermopolis. Even better.
Oh my God.
Just love that. I've totally forgot about that. That is so freaking funny.
Yeah, if this were an award show, I would be reading out. And for best villain, we have Mia Thermopolis Theophany. That's what we would say.
That's funny.
Oh, that's so funny.
All right.
Okay.
Okay, Christina.
Yes, best cover. Mm. All right. So I gave this to The Night Prince, specifically the new deluxe edition hardcover with the beautiful blue and gold sprayed edges.
So beautiful.
Ooh, I haven't seen
that. It's so gorgeous. Oh, God, it's gorgeous. So yes, that was my pick.
Oh, okay. Anna, what'd you pick?
I also had the deluxe edition, and then my backup was Night in the Moth. Mm. I just love
with her. She's gorgeous on that cover.
The girl in the water and the shroud and the hair. And
the shroud. And it's like half a knight and then half the diviner.
I really loved
that.
That's really, really good.
That was really pretty.
Okay. Mine, I tied with Onyx Storm and actually Brimstone, the new like hardcover edition that's red. And I really like Onyx Storm because I really love what Rebecca is doing with the covers of Fourth Wing to Iron Flame to Onyx Storm.
The circles, yeah.
And then also the smoke.
Or
is
the
like,
runes, we should say.
Yeah, the runes are switching. And then also the smoke is kind of like ombre changing color as you go through the series.
Agreed.
I really, really love that she's tying the covers together. Mm-hmm. I think it's fantastic.
Agreed.
And I have the special editions. I love the dragons on the sprayed edges. I just, I really, really love it. I think it's really beautiful and it fits the story really well.
Agreed.
I'm so curious to see what the next cover, what the color of the next cover is going to be.
I think it's
going
to be light.
Like silver.
Light to then, but to something else.
It's going
to
be silver into
something else.
I feel like it's all, I feel like, I don't know. I would like to see like a very, almost like drained of color, like a white, like a silver to white.
Oh, I like that.
Situation.
The vanity.
Yeah.
Silver, that would be a good one because it would lead, that would be like her hair.
Her hair, and then it like goes into like being drained.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Ooh, I think that'd be cool.
I love that, Christina. That's a great
The final
one.
Book being like a pearlescent white.
Yeah.
Like slowly draining color, kind of. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
Yes. Okay.
Kim, yes, you have best laugh.
Oh, yay. Okay.
Oh!
Best laugh. Okay. Had to be a Riddick line.
Had to be.
Had to do it. This is an iconic line. The flyer scoffs. I don't do second years. Good thing I fuck like a third, Riddick grins. Yeah, you do, baby.
Oh, man, we love it.
There were so many Riddick lines. I was literally just going through Reddit reading funny Riddick lines and the whole thing, like, I don't like sewing, and the whole funny conversation, how he was like, that lightning strike wasn't me. It wasn't me and her. We weren't doing that. And Zayden's like, we weren't doing anything. I'm well aware. It wasn't big enough. Like,
I know, thanks.
Oh, I loved Riddick in Onyx Storm so much.
Same, same. That's a great one.
What did you pick, Christina?
I had the nodding in Mate as my best laugh for the year.
Wait, that's hilarious.
That's hilarious.
That is freaking hilarious.
Just in general, just the nodding in general, inmate was my best laugh.
Wow.
10 out of 10. Great choice. Great choice.
Well done. Well done. Anna, what's yours?
Okay, so I actually had to pick the lobster scene in The Night Prince. This is hysterical. And I love it even more because if you watched Friends,
so good.
There's a great little nod to Friends that lobsters mate for life.
Yeah. Oh, it's so good.
And I just have to paint the scene.
Okay, so good.
They're having this big feast. They've been fasting all day, or they're about to fast the next day, so they're having a big feast.
Yeah.
And one of the female characters, Elsie, is making lobster, and Rory, the other female character, walks in, and she's like, no, you can't cook the lobsters. My brother told me that they like scream and they die drowning and it makes me so sad. And then the little boy starts crying. He's like, we can't kill the lobsters, Mom.
Right.
And so they release the lobsters and they're all sitting at the table and all the men are there and they're like, why are we eating potatoes? Where are all the lobsters?
Where's the lobster?
That I bought. Elsie's just like sitting there. She's like, I don't want to talk about it. They're gone. They escaped. And he's like, what do you mean they escaped? She's like, I don't know. They're gone. They got free.
What do you mean?
And he's like, well, where exactly did they go? And she's like, well, I don't know. They went swimming. And he's like, what do you mean they went swimming? And then someone goes, and so the plot thickens.
It's so good.
And she's so like, good. They're in the lock. Okay. What do you want me to say? And then Blake goes, why, may I ask, are they in the lock, Elsie? And she like points to Rory. She goes, it was her fault.
She told me. She told me.
And then they pause and they eat. And then randomly Blake goes, wait a second. Or someone else says, aren't lobsters saltwater creatures? Because the lake is freshwater.
It's like freshwater. And then
Elsie starts to panic and she goes, what? No, they're not. I think those were freshwater lobster.
And then the little boy gets upset. And so then Blake is like, oh God, go ahead.
Blake's like, he goes, I'm sure they'll live long and happy lives. And soon Lofell will be overrun with lobsters. There will be shellfish all over the island. And I'll be known as the oddball alpha who lives in a castle among his crustaceans. And it's
favorite.
Just such a great moment in this like kind of like serious thing that's happening.
Yes.
And it was totally took me off guard. And I cackled for like 5 minutes. And Christina read it. I think you were listening on the way.
I was listening on my way to Long Island to see Anna. And I like repeated that chapter again just to hear it again. I was laughing so hard in my car. I got there and I was like, oh, the Castle of Crustaceans.
It's just so funny because Blake is so serious. And for him to sit there and be like, well, I guess I'll just live in my Castle of Crustaceans.
That's so funny.
I love it.
Great.
Oh, okay, I had one runner-up as well, which is really just a Kim and I canon moment. It was not actually in Reckless. But in Reckless, there is a moment where we had a lot of conversations about the word pretend.
Uh-huh.
And about how whenever he says, oh, we're pretending or let's pretend or something, it's almost like it just flips this switch in her head where she's like, okay, fine. Well, that's fine. Let's make out.
Yeah.
Let's make out.
Yeah.
And so then we went on this whole tangent in our episode where we're like, yeah, so pretty much he says, oh, let's pretend, and she's like, all right, Unholy starts playing, she gets on his lap and she takes that chain and she whips it around.
I came like in a like a rainbow.
Oh my gosh,
it's so unhinged.
Oh wow,
that's really good, Christina.
That's hilarious.
FOF canon moment.
Yeah,
okay,
I love that.
Whew. All right, Anna,
I think it's you.
Yes. Okay, so I have best dramatic scene.
Ooh.
This one was a tricky one to pick.
I know which one you're going to do.
I know. I know you do. It has to be Bartholomew's monologue.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, it's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Rachel, hats off.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm just going to read it. Just this little snippet, this little paragraph.
Oh, God.
The gargoyle, Bartholomew was sharing his story. Okay, the gargoyle's voice hardened. He shut his eyes, imitating the abyss. And he has this ability to like change his voice to make him sound like the evil villain, the abyss.
Mm-hmm.
So imitating the abyss. Lie in the spring, Bartholomew. What signs do you see, Bartholomew? Don't mix up your words, Bartholomew. Don't cry or be sick, Bartholomew. Ignore all the pain, Bartholomew. Never complain, Bartholomew. Stop humming, Bartholomew. Would you were a daughter, Bartholomew. Soon I'll replace you, Bartholomew. I'll forget and erase you, Bartholomew. Bartholomew, Bartholomew, Bartholomew. And then he cuts himself off. His shoulders shook and he let out a long, mournful sound. When he opened his eyes, looking me in mine, I knew he was speaking in his own voice and not the abbess's. She kept me locked away in the cottage with no windows, denied me spring water, thinking I might starve. I do not know how long it took for my body to fracture and change. A long while, I think. I must have gone senseless for the pain. I starved, but I did not die, turning to stone instead. I became a gargoyle, fearsome, a guardian at Aisling's gate. Suddenly, she was pleased with me again. Suddenly, I was useful once more. After all, swords and armor are nothing to stone.
Oh, God.
Oh, God.
This big culmination moment where you have been hearing him give tidbits of his story, and he keeps saying, I just want to tell you a story. Can I tell you a story? Mm-hmm. But the whole book, he never gets to tell it until the end. And hearing him say, like, the abbess, like, would you were a daughter, Bartholomew?
Oh, I'll replace you.
I'll erase you. Oh, God.
It's so sad.
It was so incredibly well done. And everyone is sitting there staring at him like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
What a bitch.
Oh, she's the worst. It's such a powerful moment in the story. And it just makes you love Bartholomew even more than you already do.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, God. A gargoyle, Rachel.
I know. Christina, you want to go?
Yes. Okay. So my favorite dramatic scene, oh, God, is in Onyx Storm when Sawyer takes his seat again. I loved this moment, guys. It just really stood out to me as this beautiful found family moment, too, for everyone.
Yeah.
So Sawyer takes his seat. He's created this lever and, you know, gets up there and Violet is there to help. And there's a whole beautiful conversation.
Yeah.
And he does finally take a seat.
Yeah.
And he says, feels like I never left. He shouts down with a grin, I can ride. And then Violet says, you can ride. I agree. My smile instant and wide. Now, does it matter how you got there or only that he chose you? Talking about sleep. And Sawyer says, you know the answer to that already. His smile softens. I do. I nod. And then Riddick comes running out. He says, Sawyer, look at you. And he's hugging everyone. He's like, Merritt, look. And just like cheering.
Yeah.
And it's so good. And everyone's coming out and saying, everyone's like, nice to see you where you belong, Henrik. And then Dane's like, look at good Sawyer. And Riddick's just cheering. And he goes, look at him. All is right in the world. It's just so good.
God.
Oh, God. I love it.
Oh, it makes me emotional. Oh. I don't know why. Like, I loved that moment in that book so much.
That found family.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So beautiful.
I loved that.
Kim, what did you pick?
Okay, so I picked the ending of Onyx Storm when Zayden loses it after the sage threatens to kill Sigale.
Ooh.
And I'm just gonna read this.
Yes, guys.
This scene is so freaking good. How fucking dare they pull my dragon from the sky, snare and hurt the one who anchors my existence. I throw my blades into the air, fall to one knee, splay my hand over the canyon floor and break. In my final act of resistance, I become the very thing I despise. Shadow streams through the canyon, thick as tar and black as ink, blacking out the afternoon sun and turning the space pitch black. Shadows plant my daggers in the chests of the two Vinnin standing guard. Shadow drags Berwyn from Sigale and knocks both him and my new brother unconscious. My soul departs like pieces of ash from a fire, flaking free and drifting away as power consumes the space it once inhabited. I'm no longer on the ice. I am the ice. So it continues and he's channeling his power. It's surging across the battlefield. But this is his last like kind of thought. I love her. That is the emotion I cling to, the fire of pure power burning at the feeling's edges. And I know if I take it any further, it will be the next and final piece to float away. I bare my teeth and yank my hand from the ground, gasping for a full breath as my heart thunders.
Oh God, it's so beautiful.
Just that whole, he throws his daggers in the air and he gets on one knee. Like you can see it. It's like a movie. It's so cinematic. The entire ending of Onyx Storm is so cinematic and so well done to me. But this scene where he's just shadows everywhere and there's daggers and these Berwyn's being pulled away and he manages to still pull himself back a little bit just thinking of Violet and how much he loves her.
Love.
Oh.
Wow, Kim, that is a perfect choice. That is a perfect, perfect choice. That whole culmination of that book is that moment.
Yes.
And she created that in such a beautiful way. We were all reading that just losing our minds.
Oh,
yeah. It's so good. Also, I love something that I always forget is the beautiful lines he has in that scene about Sigale, like about his connection with her. Like, how dare they do that to the one who anchors me? She believed in me before anyone did.
Yes.
She is, oh God, it's so beautiful.
Well, what is it in the book that Violet's dad leaves or she finds? It says that's the answer to the riddle. A writer's first love
first
is their
love
dragon.
Is their dragon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Oh, so good.
All right. Next up is best line.
Oh!
So I just had to do There You Are, I've Been Looking for You. I just had to. It's our, you know, it is what it is.
It's iconic,
It is iconic, and we covered it this year, and so it deserves its place there. So
it does.
Great point, Christina. Anna, what's yours?
Okay, so mine is also from The Night and the Moth. But guys, it really swept awards for me.
It did.
No one could compete.
It's so good. No. Yeah.
So I had The Night and the Moth. I mean, I was trying to pick just one from The Night and Moth. And I was like, oh, this is amazing. Well, this one's amazing.
I know.
Okay. I'm just going to read the both of them. I can't. So there's the one from the prologue that gets repeated at the end. Mm-hmm. And it says, you know this story, Bartholomew, though you do not remember it. I'll tell it to you as best as I can and promise to be honest in my tale bearing. If I'm not, that's hardly my fault. To tell a story is in some part to tell a lie. Isn't it?
Oh, love it.
That last line is so good. Mm-hmm. It's gorgeous. Just chef's kiss. But then I also really, really love this one. It is easier swearing ourselves to someone else's cause than to sit with who we are without one.
Ooh, that's really good.
I really love, because that is an underlying theme throughout the book, is mm-hmm. everybody has something that they have just wholeheartedly believed and sworn themselves to, but it's not themselves.
Yeah.
It's something that is like outside of them, and their whole journey throughout the book is learning how to be just themselves and to like find what they stand for outside of what their archetypes are, I guess.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So I really, really love that line.
That's a great one, Anna. Okay. Well, I had to have a Carissa Broadbent quote on here. I just don't feel like it could be a Book Awards episode.
I had a runner-up for that too. Okay, good. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So even though Fallen was not my favorite of the Crowns of Naxxia book, I still just feel like Carissa's writing is so incredible. We talk about it all the time. I won't go on.
Yeah.
But this quote is from Asar's POV talking about Misha. And he says, once the sight of it would have brought the collector and me to my knees. But when my knees hit the ground now, it wasn't for the eye, it was for her. I wanted to bury myself before her. Oh. I wanted to cut myself open for her, let her take whatever she wanted, and treasure the scars for the rest of my pathetic life.
That's beautiful. God, the beauty.
Oh, I just, Carissa, like, it's just, and the whole thing about the scars, obviously Asar and Misha both have scars. And so pulling that aspect in too, Carissa is just incredibly talented, and I just love her writing so, so much.
Well, same. I remember the year we covered Children of the Fallen Gods. That entire awards episode was Children of the Fallen Gods.
Oh, I mean, because it's gorgeous.
It's absolutely gorgeous.
It's devastating, but it's gorgeous.
Listeners, go read it. Yeah. Prepare for emotional trauma.
Yeah, but you must
Prepare
read it.
Prepare yourself, but also do it. Okay, I do have one Carissa line. Just while we're talking about Carissa, I'm going to read this one really quick.
Yeah.
So this is how gorgeous this is. This is the last line of the prologue of Fallen. And when you read the book, this exact thing happens in chapter 63. Like, you don't realize that this is what she's talking about until you get to the end of the book. And this is exactly what she's describing. But it's the last line of the prologue. And it's so gorgeous.
Oh,
God, she's so talented.
Okay. This is the tale of how a fallen one ascends. He does it in countless cascading decisions over years, over centuries. He does it with the desperation of a starving soul willing to sacrifice anything, everything for a single chance at redemption. But in the end, he loses her. Every time.
Ooh.
Ooh, it's so good.
Oh, you know, we love a Carissa
queen
prologue.
Queen of prologue.
She truly is.
Yes, yes.
She truly is.
Don't you wish everything was more rewarding? With Rakuten, almost everything is. You can earn cash back on those new shoes you've been wanting. You can save on the next trip you book. You can cash in on groceries. Just join, shop your favorite brands, and save. Target, Instacart, Expedia, Macy's, Sephora, CVS. The list is long. Save online, in-store, and at over 22,000 restaurants. And when it's time to redeem those rewards, get your money exactly how you want it. Choose PayPal, check, Bilt points, or cash out with gift cards. Eligible American Express card members can choose to earn membership rewards points instead of cash back. Terms and conditions apply. So go ahead, take a trip, fill a cart, order dessert. Rakuten is a world of rewards. Join today for free. Go to Rakuten.com or get the Rakuten app. That's Rakuten.
So our next category is our favorite non-episode book.
Yes.
So it's a book that we read this year. Maybe we talk about it in a Patreon, like recent reads, or in our KU Rex episodes or something. I promise no spoilers for these, but we just like to give a little shout out.
Yeah.
I'll go first.
Okay.
It's actually funny because it was this same series was my favorite non-episode book from last week.
Is it Brutes of Bristlebrook, Anna?
It is Brutes of Bristlebrook, book 3.
Of course it is.
Listen, I went to trivia last night, a book trivia last night, and I was sitting at the table and somehow Brutes came up, and my two friends who I'd convinced to read it were like, I still can't believe how amazing that book was. Mm. And I was like, I'm telling you, you walk in thinking, is this going to be a slutty little reverse harem?
Yeah.
But here's this incredible dystopian world with amazing characters. And book 3 has a plot twist. Listeners, it is really hard to surprise me. Mm-hmm. And when I tell you the way this plot twist was unveiled rocked me. It was so well done. I didn't see it coming at all. And then when it's revealed, the way it's revealed is so sneaky. I didn't even know I was in the middle of it, but and then all of a sudden I was there. And I was like, what just happened?
Okay.
Wow.
It was really, really well done. So.
Oh, I love
for
that.
For Anna to say that.
Yeah.
Big praise.
High praise.
So Brutes of Bristlebrook, I can't remember the number three. I didn't bother. I'm sorry, listeners. I didn't look that up. I just call it.
Just read the whole series.
I just read the whole series because you can't start with book three. But that was my favorite non-main feed episode read of the year.
I love that. Christina?
I love that. Okay. Oh, gosh. I have three, so I'm just going to list them off real quick.
List them off.
So number one, Secret Haven by Katherine Cowles. We've been waiting for this book for this whole series, and it paid off, and I absolutely loved it. I couldn't have loved it more. I truly, if you want to talk about it, please DM me. I'll talk about it for all day long. It was so, so good. Also, Direbound by Sable Sorensen. I loved this book. It was so fun. It was so enjoyable. I listened to this whole book, so I really, really can't speak more highly of the voice actors who did this book. It was so good. It was so fast and so fun. It is not new by any means. It is not earth-shattering, but it takes the fun pieces that we love from everything and puts it all together in this world that is cohesive and makes sense and really accessible. Truly, it's just fun. It is like the perfect palate cleanser romantasy.
Ooh. I love that.
Now going to be one of my top recommendations for palate cleanser
romantasy. Oh, I love that.
Anna, we need to read this.
I know we do. I really, really want to read Direbound. It's been on my list since last spring.
Yeah, agreed.
And then my other one was Slaying the Vampire Conqueror by Carissa Broadbent that Kim and I did a book chat on Patreon, which was fantastic.
I need to implore you, if you did not love Songbird and Fallen, if it was a little too woo-woo, what's going on, I implore you to read Slaying the Vampire Conqueror. It is the perfect standalone romanticy. I don't think you need to have read the other books, but it certainly adds to it if you want to. And I think you would love it. It is so fast-paced. It's so good. The writing is like classic Serpent and Ashes, like very straight to the point. There's no confusing world building or anything. It is so, so good. I think it would also be a really great palate cleanser if you wanted just kind of a one like standalone romanticy book.
Yeah.
Highly recommend that.
I also, just while we're talking about palate cleansers, I feel like Shield of Sparrows, which we covered on Trending Pages on Patreon.
Oh, that, you're right. That deserves a call out.
Yeah, I feel like that's a really good palate cleanser. I'm not sure. I'm curious to see how she evolves book two because I don't think like it's the most amazing fantasy book I've ever read. It was so much fun when we were in it. And the characters, I think, Kim, you're like halfway through listening to the Audible.
Yeah, guys, my first audiobook. Woohoo! I'm an adult now. And I'm really, really enjoying it. And I'm really excited for book two.
Rise of the Starling.
Yes.
Yes. It was just a really great fantasy read. I just had a great time with it. So I feel like that's a really good palate cleanser as well. Okay, Kim, what was your...
Okay, so mine had to be the Magnolia Parks universe.
Oh, God, how did I not think about that?
It was our entire personality.
Can I change mine?
Yes. You can add a fourth.
Thank you.
The MPU, I started this series, like book one, I absolutely hated everybody in this book. I was like, I hate it. Everyone's garbage trash. And I was like, hate reading it.
Yeah.
And then to go from there to book five, and I got Christina to read it, and we did book chats over on Patreon. You absolutely need to go check those out. And then I also got friend of the podcast, Lindsay Rogers, who we went to see Taylor with, to read it. And she was voice noting me, and I got to relive it through her.
Yeah.
And it is just such a true ride, a true journey with these characters. And it was the most, I think, surprising reading experience of my adult life. Mm. Obviously, Harry Potter would be like my childhood choice. Just the journey that you go on. But as an adult, other than Throne of Glass, it was the most surprising kind of reading experience that I've had in a really long time.
It's interesting that you compared Throne of Glass because I was trying to explain this to someone and I was like, I can't remember finishing a lengthy series and at the end feeling so immersed that it feels hard to like go to back to real life. Like I am so in this world with these people. I cannot remember having that so viscerally except for Throne of Glass.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Like it feels like that.
Yeah.
In that way. And I don't know how to, I'm not saying it's the same level of anything as Throne of Glass.
No, God, no, it's not the same.
At all. Yeah. Like truly don't think that at all, please. But I'm saying that when you are done with the series, the journey feels so mm-hmm. impactful and important. And you feel like you know these people inside yeah. and out. And mm-hmm. I think about them all the time.
Me too.
You know?
I've never heard either of you say that's how you felt when you were done. That's how I felt when I was done with Bristlebrook. I couldn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I felt like I couldn't read anything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I couldn't move on from it. All I wanted to do was talk about it
yeah.
with other people.
That's exactly how we felt. Yeah.
Yeah, truly.
It was just hard to move on.
My second answer would be Deepin by Ally Hazelwood.
Oh, what a good answer.
There was something about Deepin that really did it for me. I don't know. I just really liked it. It was not the smuttiest or the kinky, like nothing really about that. But
yeah,
you guys know, I just love Ally. She's my author mate, as I said when we did our mate episode.
Yeah.
There's just something about her writing that really, really works for me. And I really enjoy Deepin. Mm-hmm. My grandfather was an Olympic swimmer. And so I have like a real fondness for, I grew up swimming. And so it was a really fun, I was intrigued by the concept, but then it was like typical Ally, just amazingness. And I just loved it.
Great answer. Yeah. Great answers all around, everybody.
All right.
Okay, Kim.
Okay, so I have the honor of sharing what our patrons' best book of the year was. So one of the many benefits of being one of our tier two book bitches is you have voting power throughout the year and you get to vote on a variety of different things. But the most fun one is you get to vote on what your pick is for your favorite book that we have done an episode on. So not necessarily like that specific patron's favorite book, but I listed all of the episodes that we've done and I said, pick your favorite book, and Onyx Storm absolutely won.
Yay!
It was everyone's first choice. Although I will say The Night and the Moth was a fairly close second.
Okay.
But Onyx Storm was by far the winner. We did have two people comment saying shout out to Shield of Sparrows would also be like an honorable mention.
Aww.
Yeah.
And I was like, I love that.
Honestly, Shield of Sparrows was a great one. Yes. Onyx Storm. Woo! It was the Onyx Storm.
What a ride.
Yes. That was our patron's pick was Onyx Storm.
And if you think about it, what a ride for us specifically. Like, you guys flew to New York.
Oh, yeah.
We were finishing on the plane and together. And I was like mm-hmm. finishing at Dry Bar and then running to our hotel.
Yeah.
And then we all got to go see Rebecca speak, and then we got to record in a beautiful studio in Brooklyn, and like
yeah.
that just added to the amazingness of Onyx Storm for us this year.
Yes. Okay.
All right.
Last one.
Christina.
Okay, guys. All right. Best book, our book of the year individually for the 2025 season. Mine was Onyx Storm.
Yep.
For all the reasons I just mentioned.
Yeah.
It just was everything, and I am so excited that it exists and that it is the impeccable treat that it was from Rebecca, especially yeah. now having finished the year.
Mm-hmm.
It was amazing. The amount of plot development we got, the amount of answers we got, the answers, yes. the questions that were answered looking at you, Callie Hart, the amount of stuff that Rebecca answered in this book. Oh my God.
We had chapter one, we had something answered.
Yeah.
I remember going answered. Chapter one. Nailed it, Rebecca.
Yeah.
It was really incredible.
Yeah. Onyx Storm was mine too for all the things you just said. But when I think about the best book, mine was Onyx Storm because of the whole experience that surrounded the book itself.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like you said, Anna and I got to fly to New York and be with Christina and Christina's friend Carly. Shout out Carly. Got us these incredible tickets to Rebecca Yarros's book chat with Laurie Hernandez, who was an incredible moderator. And like we got to yeah. even meet a couple listeners in person, which yeah. literally never happens. Like, I never get that experience.
It was so fun.
And we were just, all three of us got to be together, and I got off the plane and Anna's reading in LaGuardia and she finishes in the taxi next yeah. to me, and we're like immediately talking about it, and then we get to Christina and we're all like literally jumping up and down like screaming
yes.
and talking nonstop, and we get to go to the event, and then we get to be in this beautiful podcast space together yes. the three of us in person recording, which literally never ever happens
never.
And it felt so like special.
Yeah
just so special. That whole weekend was so special that we got to all be together, and that was my best book because of the experience, not because it was necessarily yes. like technically.
Yeah.
Although I did love the island hopping, and like Christina said, the,
yeah.
the expansion of the world and the answers that we got and the things that she's still clearly setting up that I'm so excited to read.
Yes.
I just thought it was so well done.
I had the same exact answer for obvious, all the reasons stated.
Yeah.
It was just the experience and being all together, and I just never forget sitting in the cab and Kim being like, I didn't even know you were filming me at first. And you were just like, I need you to keep reading. Mm-hmm. Keep reading.
Yeah, I was excited.
And I was like,
just hold on. Because you were trying to like ask about stuff. And I was like, read.
I was doing that thing where I speculate while I'm reading and I keep pausing. And she's like, just
Yeah.
Finish.
I was like, you literally have two pages left. Please just finish. And it was so funny. And I recorded her finishing. That's up on our Patreon if you want to watch it. That weekend together was so like wonderful. Incredible. It was so special. Yeah. We never get to really do that.
Yeah.
Last time we did it was Crescent City, book three.
Yeah.
Which was also an incredible experience.
Yes, it was. It was really special. If we're going technical, I would say best technically written book would obviously be The Night in the Moth.
Yeah.
But I just loved Onyx Storm. It was so fun, you guys. It was such a fun. Yes. book. And Zayden and Violet, like, it was
so many fun
things. And then Darna and Riddick.
Oh my God. And we got like jealous
Zaddy
Professor. Yeah. Like, what?
Oh God, I forgot about Professor.
I almost had that as my funny quote, as like my funny bit.
Yeah.
Is when like he's like, so I'm not a professor here. Halden, wait, just let me get that. I'm not a professor. He's like, no. Okay, great. Got it. Picks up Violet and like brings her to the room.
We'll see you tomorrow. Oh my God, it's so good.
God. And he's like, jealous, love? Like, yes, I'm fucking jealous.
I'm jealous of the air you breathe. Doesn't he say something like that?
He's like, of the armor on your skin, of your body, and like the blades that get to feel you holding them. Oh God.
So good.
It's so good, you guys. Oh, yay. This was so fun. I love this.
So fun.
Oh, guys.
Wow. Thanks for being with us this season. We love you guys. And we're so excited everything 2026 has in store.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
God.
It's going to be a great year. Yeah, we're so thankful for you guys. And let's go 2026.
Woo! Cheers and happy reading.
Bye. Well, friends, that wraps up another episode of Flights of Fantasy Podcast. Don't forget to join our book club community on Instagram and TikTok at Flights of Fantasy Podcast, where you can share your thoughts, theories, and favorite moments with us and fellow listeners. We'd love to hear from you. If you enjoyed today's episode, please rate and review us on your favorite podcast platform. Your support helps us spread the magic of romanticy to even more book lovers. Until next time, keep dreaming, keep reading, and remember, every good story deserves to take flight.